With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us now on from our flagship station, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, and 1250 AM, The Fan, out of Milwaukee, is Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Bucks postgame show. Sparky, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How excited are you for this game, just for the nostalgia aspect of it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, and a lot of these guys, we had Jason Terry on our afternoon show earlier this week, and I said, well, the last time you played in front of like 8,000 or 9,000 fans? He goes, I don't know if I played in front of that few since high school. He goes, because it never was that few at Arizona. So, I mean, for a lot of these guys, it's been a long time since they've played in front of such a small crowd. So that'll be a cool experience. And then, you know, reading online about some of the responses from these guys saying they can't believe how bright the floor is. You know, it's different than any other basketball floor they'll ever play on the rest of their life, probably. So from that aspect, it's going to be an adjustment for them and for the Boston Celtics.
It is. It's interesting because don't forget the arena last year had all new lighting put in. It's all bright LEDs.
Right.
They can make it different colors. They can dim it. It's spectacular. If you haven't been down there, and I'm just talking to fans in general lately, I was down there the other night for a hockey game, and it's amazing the light show that they can put on inside that place. Now, they really upgraded it, not only for UWM, but they did it for the Milwaukee Admirals as well. So they're right. I mean, it's a lot brighter than playing at the Bradley Center, I'll tell you that.
Well, I was down there for several Admirals games, too, last year. And you're right. It is awesome. I really like it. And the one thing I said about the Admirals games there versus at the Bradley Center was I thought the sight lines were much better. I mean, you're not up in the nosebleeds like at the Bradley Center, not that you would be for Admirals games, but even on the lower bowl, I just thought the sight lines were better. I felt closer to the action at the old Mecca there than the Bradley Center. I think everybody that goes to that game tonight is just going to have an awesome experience.
So this team off obviously to a fast start, but if there's a concern at all or top three concerns at all that you have right now, what would it be?
I think right now is I don't want them to worry so much about now. And these Eric Bledsoe rumors tell me that they are tending to think of this year and going far this year versus thinking of, you know, the big picture plan the next 2-3 years. Let's see what Jabari Parker, Chris Milton, Giannis look like first before we go and start changing everything up. Let's see what this team looks like with everybody returning going forward. I mean, the one glaring thing right now is, and it was a concern coming into the year, is how is this bench going to play? That is going to be the deciding factor of how far this team goes. If this bench can't give you consistent scoring night in and night out, this team is going to struggle. And Greg Monroe, you got a pretty good idea. He's going to give you, you know, the same thing every night. But then after that, don't know. Teladovich has had a couple good games already. That's a positive sign. It would help if he could go out there and hit, you know, two or three threes every night consistently. We've got going through long, cold shooting stretches. Dellavedova still has yet to be what everybody thought he was going to be when he got here. He hasn't been able to hit that three-point shot consistently. So that's really the issue right now, is can they get enough bench scoring to go with what they have? And then once Jabari Parker comes back, you know, does he end up on the bench, coming off the bench to help that bench scoring, or who goes to the bench if they move him back into that starting lineup when he returns, you know, late January, early February?
Have you been excited or a little bit disappointed in kind of getting slow out of the chute for Thon Maker?
This is what I said. Everybody just has to remember Giannis, the Giannis story, right? Year one to year two, yes, he made a jump, but it took a little while, too. I think Thon probably did get stronger over the offseason and worked on a bunch of different stuff. But right now, when he's on the floor, he's just not making a huge difference. He's not rebounding the basketball. He's really not blocking shots. On the defensive end, he's really not helping. On the offensive end, he helps if he can get a three-point shot. We still haven't seen any type of post game from him or anything like that. But they're going to continue to run out there and get experience, because in those situations where he hits a couple threes early in the game, then he's going to play through that first time out and come back after the first time out. In games where he's not contributing anything, then they're going to pull him out. I think in their mind, they think he is the starting center for this team when they eventually make their run, and they want him to get used to playing with these guys, the chemistry and everything else, and don't want to hurt his confidence, so they're going to leave him out there to start games for the time being.
What do you think not the ceiling necessary, but what do you think his play should be this season?
Oh, I don't expect much for Thon, to be honest with you. I mean, I, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the year, if he was averaging 7 points a game and like 5 or 6 rebounds a game, that'd be much better than what he's shown in the first 3 or 4 games. So, I mean, if he ended up at like 7 and 6 or something like that, that would be good. I mean, I don't think anybody should be expecting double digits at the end of the year. And I definitely don't think anybody should be expecting a double-double from Thon Maker at this point. He's only playing like 15 minutes at night. So, yeah, I really have to temper any expectations that you have and just hope that in those nights where he can hit that outside shot that he can give you a little burst of energy and carry for a little bit. Because right now, like I said, rebounding and blocking shots is really not doing either one very well.
Boston, the opponent tonight, I mean, look, injuries have decimated that team in the sense that they had some real, you know, Hayward obviously a very big piece of that puzzle. Where is Boston right now? Because people are still saying that this is a team that still can be vying for the top 5, top 4 of the East.
I think the Boston Celtics are a team that have to search for an identity right now. And that's the one area where the Bucks don't have to. I mean, adding Kyrie Irving to that mix, even without, you know, Gordon Hayward, with him getting hurt, that's still going to take an adjustment to playing with him versus Isaiah Thomas, who, you know, some of those guys got to play with last year. Him getting on the same page as Brad Stevens as far as what Brad Stevens wants from this offense and how he wants them to run this offense. And that Celtics team is not deep. Look at their bench. It's a bunch of young guys. So you talk about the Bucks bench and whether or not they can get consistent scoring. I think if you look at the Celtics bench, that also is a question for them because they pretty much stripped their whole bench and their whole team in order to get Kyrie on this team and to get Gordon Hayward on this team. So their depth, that was, you know, a strength of theirs probably last year, no longer this year, and they're going to have to figure out how to get more scoring. And without Hayward, they're going to need significant improvement from Jaylen Brown. And early on, it looks like they got significant improvement from Jaylen Brown from last year to this year. He could be a big-time player for them going forward.
I was reading in Sporting News the other day all the trade rumors that are out there. There's still the whole Eric Bledsoe thing sitting out there, you know, lingering in space. And it would be Brogdon if you would bring him in. Would you give up Brogdon to bring in Bledsoe?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't give up Brogdon. I wouldn't give up Thon, Middleton, Jabari, Giannis, none of them, for multiple reasons. Number one, he's only got 1.5 years left on his contract. There's no guarantee that he stays here. Odds are probably that he wouldn't stay here. That's the first thing. Second thing is he has a horrible injury history with his knees. Sounds like Jabari Parker, if you ask me. So I don't want to go down that road either with the injured knees. And I'm not giving up a future point guard of this team for a guy that's going to be here 1.5 years and gone when Brogdon would be a much cheaper option going forward. I know the chemistry good and everything else versus Bledsoe, who's a malcontent, and you don't know how he's going to fit into this chemistry once he gets here. And I don't want to rock this boat necessarily with a guy that gets upset and takes to social media to vent his frustrations. I don't think that's good for Giannis or anybody else on this basketball team going forward. So if you're going to go get Eric Bledsoe, that's fine. But I'm not getting rid of Brogdon, my future point guard possibly going forward if he continues to improve. And so far this year, I think his defense looks better. I think his outside shot looks better. Brogdon's outside shot looks better. So he's definitely going in the right direction. And the thing with Bledsoe is, you know, he's more athletic. He's a playmaker, right? He can get to the rim probably better than Brogdon can. At this point, he's probably a better defender than Brogdon, but his outside shot is horribly questionable. And this team needs, as you know, Bill, they need shooters to go around Giannis. They just do. And Bledsoe's not going to give that. Yeah, he can average 20, 21 points the last couple of years, and that's great. But he also needs to have the basketball in his hands and take shots. So now we're taking shots away from Giannis. I don't want Giannis taking less than 20 shots a game. I want Giannis to take his 20 shots a game and let everybody else figure it out from there.
Joe asked me the other day if Giannis needs an outside shot to be great. And my answer was he's already great. All that would do is accentuate his greatness. Do you agree?
I think he needs an outside shot to be the greatest of all time or something like that. Then, sure. Then I would say probably he's an outside shot. He can win the MVP with doing what he's doing right now. I mean, everybody in the league knows what he's going to do when the game starts. They can't stop him. It's no secret. He has no shot. Okay. But nobody can stop him. Everybody's game planning to stop him. Everybody's game planning to sag off and make him beat you going to the rim or whatever. But if you look at Giannis, one of the biggest things he's done this year so far is he doesn't take bad shots. He's not jumping into double teams forcing shots. He's not running out of control at the rim and getting charge calls nearly like he was in the last couple of years. He's just become a smarter basketball player, and he's just taking what's coming. And that is the one area where it's really benefited him. And the other area is, you know, when he gets fouled or gets contact around the rim, because he's so much stronger over the last couple of years, he's able to bounce off and still make a basket and still get that shot to go in, where in years past, he wasn't big enough and he had no chance of making that shot. And then you go to the free throw line and miss. And, you know, as long as he continues to get to the free throw line, he averaged want to say, 7 free throws last year. And I think so far this year he's averaging 10 off the top of my head. That's a big difference. That's 3 free throws a game if he makes them. So all of that works into play. He's not going to average probably 36 all year, but there's no reason why he can't average 30 points this year. That's a 7-point average, you know, better than last year. And he was joking with Paschke, you know, in the offseason about most improved player. He's like, why can't I be most improved player? He's like, well, you just were. He's like, but why can't I be it again? I'm telling you right now, if this dude goes out and averages 30-plus points a game, 10 rebounds, and 6 or 7 assists a game, why can't he be most improved player and MVP at the end of the year if the Bucks win over 50 games? It's totally possible.
It's funny. Down the stretch the other night, I said, look, that was a character win. You saw more defense at the other end of the floor. You saw passing the basketball, Giannis pushing it up. The one area that I found was interesting was going back to LeBron, if he kicked it out to somebody to hit a big three at the end of a ball game, he was the guy that wasn't clutch. He wasn't Michael. The other night, you saw Giannis, very smart, pulls up, passes over to Middleton. Middleton drains the three. And people said, man, what an unselfish player. Why do we just like Giannis more?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have no idea. The LeBron thing early in his career, I think was because all the hype that came LeBron, behind LeBron. He was King LeBron, hadn't played a game in the NBA. He was driving that, what was he driving, an Escalade or some fancy
Hummer.
Truck or what, a Hummer.
Big Hummer,
truck,
yeah.
In high school, right? His high school games were on TV. That really wasn't all that heard of back then. They were selling his high school jersey shirts at games and stuff like that. He was all that in a bag of chips, and everybody wanted, I think, not everybody, but I think a lot of people wanted to see him fail. Didn't want him to be as great as everybody made him out to be before he started in the league. Giannis is just this shy, humble kid from Greece that doesn't know any better. And, you know, when he got a slushie, it was like the most, or smoothie or whatever it was, the most famous smoothie ever, because he never even knew they existed or whatever. And taking a limo to Walmart and John Hammond showing him how to drive a car and all this other stuff. It was just, you just want to wrap your arms around him and hug him. Like, boy, I wish that was my kid, man. This is a pretty cool, humble kid. Just digging it. And now he's built it. It's kind of, I don't want to say the American dream type story, but that's kind of what it is. He was at the bottom rung of the ladder in the NBA and has worked his way up through hard work and perseverance over the course of time to get now into an MVP conversation. I mean, think back about it. Who's the last guy that came in this league that was as raw as him, had potential, but it was as raw as him, and developed like this into a superstar over the course of time? Most of the time, you could see a guy come in the league and go, that kid's a stud. Right? They still got to work, but you can just see it. With Giannis, you saw a flash here, flash there, but you knew he was a long ways away, and there was no guarantee he would ever reach his potential. And now here we sit. He still hasn't reached his potential, and he's already a heck of a basketball player.
Good stuff as always, Spark, and check you out down the Mecca, man. And we'll be listening after the game for sure.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer from Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee, joining us for a couple of minutes talking about this big game coming up tonight and about the Bucks in general.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.